Hello, my name is Craig Brockschmidt. I work as a program manager in the Windows ecosystem team. My teammates and I supported developers in creating the first third-party Windows Store apps in early 2012. Through that experience, we learned that there are a number of aspects to the platform that aren't always visible, but very essential for building a great app. For while an app, like a home, could be stunningly beautiful, it can at the same time be thoroughly uncomfortable to live in. And you certainly want your apps to be a place that consumers want to spend many, many hours. Here in Part 1, we'll look at aspects that are visible, but not all that glamorous. To draw an analogy, if you were designing a home, you might focus much of your attention on the noticeable things – windows, paint colors, flooring, cabinets, and the lighting and plumbing fixtures. But then there are all those things that matter just as much, but aren't so obvious – the windowsills, baseboards, door hinges, switches, and the little transitions between different types of flooring. When you look at the whole house, these may not be the big-ticket items, but they matter just as much in creating the whole experience. For instance, when you upload an app to the store, you'll be asked for a number of promotional screenshot graphics. As these aren't part of the app package itself, they're easy to forget, yet they are often consumers' first experience of your app. So be aware of these and give your artists time to produce them. Logos, similarly, represent your app in the store, on the start screen, and within lists of apps to fulfill contracts. They may be small, but they are very visible and should be clear and crisp. Tiles, for their part, are the face of your app on the start screen and in various places where your app might appear in lists, like the search and share contract. And the moment a user taps a tile or otherwise activates your app, your splash screen appears for at least 3/4 of a second. I like to think of this as a branded hourglass, and through an extended splash screen, a page of your own that you display if you need more time for the app to get started, you can not only inform the user of loading progress, but also entertain and delight them. With charms, the big thing to remember is that users will invoke them when your app is in the foreground, either in the full screen or the filled state. So the question becomes, what do you do with them? It's highly likely that as consumers install and use more apps, they'll be increasingly dissatisfied with apps that don't use these to their fullest capacity, which means you're opening advantages for competitors. In short, really think of these from the consumer's point of view, anticipate their expectations, then fulfill those expectations. With search, ask yourself if your app has anything that can be searched. If the app has collections or lists of any kind, the answer really must be yes. And with search that can be invoked for your app even while you're not running, make sure that the app's activation path has been tested for startup in response to the contract. Similarly, if you have any data that a consumer might think should be shareable, become a share source. The last thing you want is for users to turn away from your app because you don't allow them to share their experience with others. Devices is akin to sharing, not to other people, but to hardware like media receivers and printers. The first, clearly, is important for media apps, while printing is important for apps with documents and other printable data. As for settings, this serves as a convenient home for managing configurations, logins, preferences, license agreements, terms of service, and so forth, allowing you to eliminate the need to have such pages in your app, its navigating hierarchy, and its commanding UI. Now, while it's very natural to design an app around its full-screen landscape view, remember that consumers can put any page of your app into any view state at any time. Apps need to be prepared then to show in full screen landscape, yes, but also filled, snapped, and full screen portrait views. This means consciously designing each and every page for each view state. While this may sound like a lot of extra work, you're not designing four completely different apps. View states are really just about the visibility of elements and their layout. View states never change the mode of an app. For example, in Snap View, it's typical to show one-dimensional vertical lists rather than two-dimensional horizontally panning ones. Some apps, like games, may need to simply pause themselves in Snap View, but pausing is not, again, a mode change. For other apps, like a movie player, it's appropriate to lock the orientation as well, in which case a view state like Portrait doesn't apply. But this is a way to fulfill consumer expectations, not an excuse for laziness. Finally, it's not necessary to have all kinds of hardware on which to test view states. You can use the simulator in Visual Studio to test rotations. The device controls in Blend for Visual Studio also lets you test view states directly in the designer. Speaking of the simulator and Blend, both tools also allow you to test against various screen sizes, from a 1024 by 768 to 2560 by 1440 screens, and across pixel densities of 100%, 140%, and 180%. As with some of the other features we've talked about, your app will be run on different screen sizes and pixel densities, so it's vital that you test these scenarios and implement for them appropriately. How you handle different screen sizes depends on your content. Apps with variable content should show more. Apps with fixed content, like games, will generally scale their content instead. For varying pixel densities, try to use vector graphics as much as possible, in which case you don't have to worry about the differences at all. If you have raster graphics, on the other hand, you want to avoid having these automatically scaled by providing specific images for each scale factor, especially for your tiles, logos, and the splash screen. Fortunately, Windows also provides an automatic resource lookup mechanism if you simply name your files in a consistent manner, as with .scale-100, .scale-140, and .scale-180 suffixes to the file names. And again, let your graphic designers know of these requirements ahead of time so they can provide all the assets. While you should have a great static tile, live tiles are even better as they provide value to the user even while the app isn't running, though it needs to run at least once. You can have Windows periodically ask a service for a tile update at 15-minute intervals or longer, or you can set up a service that sends updates to the Windows Notification Service, which will then be sent to every device where your app has configured its tile to receive them. In this context, we highly recommend looking into the Windows Azure Toolkit and Windows Azure Mobile Services for the creation of your service. Beyond your primary tile, secondary tiles are app bookmarks, and enabling them encourages consumers to populate their start screen with entry points into your app, especially as secondary tiles can be live just like the primary one. Notifications are also a way to alert consumers to important events. However, be judicious in your use of them, because if you make too many notifications, or trivial ones, the user can turn them off for your app entirely, which defeats the purpose. On the subject of tiles, by the way, be aware of the show name option in the manifest. If your app name appears in your tiles, set this to no logo, since you don't need the system-provided text. Localization and accessibility are two other areas where the user has control and your app should respond accordingly. Both of them are really ways to extend your app's reach to a wider audience. Users in different locales will appreciate apps that are available in their native language and honor their regional conventions. Similarly, a majority of users, 60%, actually use accessibility features in some capacity. With localization, check out the Multi-Language App Toolkit for Visual Studio that is available from Microsoft, which greatly simplifies the localization process for Windows Store apps. The Windows SDK also contains tools called Inspect and the UI Accessibility Checker, which will test your app under the kinds of conditions that users can control in the Ease of Access Center. It's also a good idea to test your app directly with different contrast settings, different types of input, and even to turn on Narrator and try to use your app with your eyes closed. As with all these tips, consumers will very much appreciate your consideration. The final suggestion that I'll make in this presentation is to acknowledge that users will run your apps on slow networks and slow devices, meaning that your app might not always run as fast as it does on your souped-up development machines with great broadband. To be again considerate, use progress indicators to let users know that potentially long operations are happening. Otherwise, a blank screen that lasts more than 2 seconds gives the idea that the app is hung, and users are likely to switch to another one. Windows provides built-in progress indicator controls in both linear and ring styles, which are very easy to use. Even so, making the effort to use progress indicators also gives you an opportunity to see if you can actually eliminate them. While this won't be possible in all cases, it certainly helps your app to appear all the more responsive, and we'll talk more about this in Part 2. And with that, I wish you all the best in your efforts to build great apps, and especially invite you to watch Part 2 of this presentation, where we'll cover additional areas that are even less visible, but still important to apps that really work.